Thank you for listening to the podcasts from Life Central Church. For more information or to visit one of our locations, go to lifecentralchurch.org.uk.
Sometimes I'm amazed I've got any voice left by the time I get up here to speak. You can't hear it, but actually we're all yelling down here, literally yelling some of those songs, because it's such a truth, guys. It's such a powerful truth. And sometimes I have to yell it to hear it for my heart to accept it again. I have to speak it out. Sometimes if I just sort of take it in my head and say it in my head, it doesn't have that kind of power. But sometimes that power of speaking it out, of yelling it out, of shouting it out, does something on the inside of me. And if you weren't here last week, I just want to reference again Leon's amazing talk that we talked about doubt. If you've not heard it yet, please, you know, all of our podcasts, all of our talks are available on our podcast system. Please, you know, download that and listen to it again. If you were here last Sunday, listen to it again, because these aren't questions that we have just once and are once answered. These are things that are going to crop up time and time again. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, let me tell you, one of the topics that we're talking about will come up. And so, but one of the things that I realised that when Leon was talking last week about doubt, that we do doubt, is a topic that I'm going to talk about today, which is about, can we really change? Can I really change? And I've been reading a book, and I want to reference this at the start, and a guy you may have heard of, a guy called Craig Rochelle, he wrote a book called The Power to Change, which I've recently read. And so some of this stuff has been kicked off by him, and I want to reference that and honour that for him, as we should do when somebody else has had a revelation and an understanding. So I just want to make you aware that some of this stuff is been kicked off by his thinking, really. And but it started me thinking about, why is change so hard? You know, why is anything worth having hard? Why is anything worth having hard? And at one point, did I start believing the lie that tells me that I can't change something? When did I start believing that? That this is just who I am and who I'm going to be forever. And it's not a coincidence, you know, that when we try to make a change, you know, to better our life in some way, I don't know whether it's just me, but all of these excuses seem to come into my head. You know, things like, you know, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. I just really can't face it today. I'll have more energy tomorrow. Things will look different tomorrow. It's been a busy day, Jane. You've had a rough one. Your team have been hard to manage today. You deserve a rest from it. You know, or the worst one you get is, you know, you can't really change who you are. This is just the hand you've been dealt. Whoever hears that one, this is just the hand you've been dealt in life. You know, and you'll have more than that. And maybe some of us today are a bit like me, and you have a hard time admitting that there needs to be a change. You know, I'm the last person to come to terms with the fact that I need to change. Often people have more than hinted at times that there are things that I need to change. Or many of us struggle with how we handle work or shopping or our image or even more stronger subjects like handling our habits and thinking around things like porn or gossip. You know, and we just don't think, it's not really big of a deal. I've got control of this. You know, I can stop that when I want to. You know, it's totally under me. You know, I can decide when and where, how and why. And then there are other of us in the room that want to make significant changes in our life. And we try and we try and we try, but it just doesn't seem to work out for us. So today, what I want to try and do is give us a change in the way you think, so we can help us change the way that we live. Because a lot of times I've realised what I wanted to do this year is often what I wanted to do last year. And if I'm really honest with this, what I wanted to do the year before that. And I'm still trying to make it happen. And I try so hard to make the changes that I want to make, and I succeed for a day or maybe even a week or two. And then I tend to fall back into that really unhealthy habit that I wanted to get out of in the first place. And do you know what? If you made a New Year's resolution this year and you kept it till Valentine's Day, do you know you're in the top 80% of people that have followed through? Because 80% of us kind of fall apart by Valentine's Day. You're in the top 20% of those that actually make it happen. If you're keeping it going. Why? Because all of us are trying to start something new or stop something old. But then we do it and then we skip a day or two. And then it becomes a month or two. And before we realise it, we're back at December the 31st again. So why is it that we try so really hard to change and we end up going back to those same old patterns? Anybody sick of being stuck here today? If there's things in your life that you're sick of being stuck in, because there are still with me, feel frustrated, exhausted with it. Maybe some of us may feel even a little bit embarrassed or a little ashamed about things that we can't change. But here's the good news, because we are not alone today, because Paul in the New Testament understood exactly what it was like to try to change. And in Romans 7, verse 15, he said this, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." That's the hope for all humanity right there. Whenever I get something, I think, oh, this isn't working for me. I go to this verse, I think, poor me and you, mate. We're in this together. We're in this together. And you may often say, what's wrong with me? What in the world is wrong with me? And Paul could have been asking that. I mean, I tried to change it this year. I tried to change it last year. I set my goals. I made my vow. I bought my gym clothes. You know, I did everything. Do you know what? We have the right intention, but we get the wrong strategy. We're trying to change what we're trying to change in the wrong way, because real change for me isn't about modifying my behavior. It's not behavior modification. Real change is a transformation. It's not just changing what I do on the outside. If I'm a Christian, if you're a Christian today, it's allowing God to change us on the inside. It's not just outwardly changing my behavior. And Paul goes on to say in Romans 7, who will free me? Who will rescue me? And a guy called Jerry Bridges, he said that there are three mindsets we have when it comes to change. Two are wrong and one is right. And if you're a Jesus follower today, this is what it says. He says, the first wrong mindset is this: God, then me. In other words, we've become a Christian, okay? We've given our life to Jesus. We've made that decision. God has brought us into his family. And then in our heads, God says, right, it's up to you now, Jane. I've done the hard bit. I've done the hard stuff. You're in my family. You're connected to me for all eternity. The rest is down to you. And that sets a mindset in me that says, if it's going to be, it's up to me. The second wrong mindset is this: God, not me. And that if the first one's all about effort, the second one kind of absolves me from all responsibility. All my responsibility then goes to God. Well, God, I've come to know you. I've given my life to you. All of this stuff is now your job. You've got to sort all the rest of it out. For example, I could hate my job. I go in tomorrow, I give my notice, and then I go, God, okay, find me a new job. This is how it works. I want to suggest to you, as Jerry Bridges said, that the third one is the right one. It's God through me. The same grace that we've sung about today that can save you is the same grace that can help to change you. It's a partnership. And you go, well, that sounds great, Jane, but how's that really going to help me when I find myself eating my third chocolate bar of the day, or I've scoffed all the kids' Easter eggs and they're going to come back from spring harvest and they're going to find I've ate them all? Well, how's that going to help me? Or when I find myself losing my temper again for the umpteenth time and I'm feeling a bit out of control with it? Well, I'm going to go through some steps today. Hopefully it's going to be helpful and it's going to give us something to hang our clothes on, really. And the third step is this: you need to find your why. You need to find your why. And if you're a Jesus follower today, I want to really suggest to you that your why has to be about God's purpose for you. So for example, those little weekly notifications that come up on your phones that say, oh, you've been on this 80 hours of this week, that's really helpful. And you think, well, I want to spend less time on my phone. So what's your why? What's your why? Why are you going to do that? Find a spiritual reason. God wants me to love people. How am I loving people looking at my phone all the time? I want to be more engaged with the people in my family, the people that I love. I don't just want to click on their pictures that I'm liking what they're doing or liking where they're going and what they've posted. What if you want to get better with money? What's your why? Because I'm fed up of being broke, Jane. Great reason. Great reason. But what if there was a bigger reason? What if a bigger reason could be, I want to be able to steward wisely what God has given me. Why? So I can help those around me that may not be as blessed as I am. Adding a why can really change your heart. But adding a why isn't enough. If we stop at the why, we won't do it. We need to find our how. So find your why, find your how. Now, this, I want to put a caveat on this. This is just me. This is my working out of this, okay? This example may not work for you, but this is how it worked for me. You see, I wanted to lose weight for a long, long time. Years. I've always struggled. I've tried diets. I've joined so many gyms, you wouldn't believe it. I have tried so many exercise programs, so many processes, so many systems, and it didn't really work for me. Now, I used to be probably about 4 or 5 stone heavier than I am now. So what made the difference for me? The biggest change for me came when I realized that God wanted me to be around as long as I could possibly be around for. And you know what? So did I. We agreed on that. Me and God agreed on that. So I needed to start taking care of myself better. And to take care of myself better, holistically, that meant I had to eat a bit more healthily. I had to start exercising more regularly. My behaviour started to follow the decision that I'd made internally, that I wanted to be around for as long as possible. So God and I began to work together. God's power through me with my desire and my heart to change. That's my example. This is where it's worked for me. Because God brings a stronger power. God brought a stronger strength than my strength, but we had to work together. And that has helped me holistically. It has helped me more mentally. It's helped me mentally. It's helped me more emotionally. It's helped me physically. My behavior followed my internal decision. I had to choose what I wanted most over what I wanted now. Ever ask yourself why you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? Because the chances are you will do similar things in similar situations, okay? So why is it you generally do what you do in different situations? So what do you normally do in the morning? The alarm goes off. How many of you press snooze? Be honest, how many of you press snooze? How many of you jump straight out of bed when the alarm goes off? I have to do that. I have to get up. When you go to a restaurant, there's a healthy option and a better tasting option. I'll put that in inverted commas. How many of you go healthy most of the time? Choose the chicken. How many go with the better tasting and then the follow-up pudding? Yes. Why do you tend to do the same things? It could be because you feel obligated in some way. You know, you want to be a good parent, you want to be a good Christian, you want to be a good worker. You might actually want to do it. You know, you want to be disciplined, you want to make a wise choice. You may want to be accepted or fit in. You might think, well, everybody's having a pudding. Oh, I'll have a pudding. You know, don't make them feel bad, do you? So we'll all have a pudding. But I think the primary reason we do what we do is this. You do what you do because of what you think about you. Just let that sit with you a minute. The biggest driving force of my behavior is my identity. I really believe, honestly believe this, that what I think of me can determine what I do. So I'm suggesting that if you want to change what you do, change what you think about you. What's the Bible got to say about that? So back to John 8:44, this is Jesus speaking. The devil, we don't talk about him very often, but the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. If it's somebody's native language, it's their first language. It's their natural language. That's what he always speaks. So his native language is lies, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And Jesus is trying to get us a message here. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. See, when Jesus tries to tell us who we are, we've been so pre-programmed by the lies that that guy's been telling us that we don't believe the truth and that that truth can set us free. I'm so used to hearing, Jane, you can't change and you can never be that because that just isn't who you are. And then I do something that I'm not proud of. The devil, that guy, doesn't tell me, oh, don't worry, Jane, that was a momentary thing. You won't do that again, will you? That'll be all right. We can get away with that. Or he doesn't tell me, you know, God, don't worry, God is still with you. God is still for you. No, the devil tells me, Jane, what a bad person I am. He attacks my identity. At the core of I am, you should be ashamed of yourself, Jane. You're not the real thing. Give up on this being a Christian. Give up on following Jesus. Give up on that because look at what you've just done. Look at what you've just thought. Look at who you've just been. You're a hypocrite. You're a loser. You'll never change. And so my distorted identity then starts to sabotage the success I'm trying to make. And so I start to think, well, this is who I am. Do you know what? I'm terrible with money. I'm always going to be terrible with money. Click on all Amazon and start buying stuff. It doesn't matter what I do, I'm always going to be terrible. You see, my distorted identity starts to create destructive habits. And then my destructive habits start reinforcing my distorted identity. And all of a sudden, can you see? We're in this cycle. I think poorly of myself, therefore I do the wrong thing. And the wrong thing confirms I'm not really being that great a person. See, it wouldn't be really a great talk, would it, if I left it there? So how do we break the cycle? How do we break the cycle? Start with who before you do. Start with who before you do. If you want to change what you do, you have to change how you think. You are not who the devil says you are. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You are not who the devil says you are. You are not even what others say you are. You are not who that little critical voice in your head says you are. You know the one that rips you down and tears your confidence to pieces? And so you don't do something before you've even got an opportunity to start? Jesus is speaking the truth about you. And he wants you to believe the truth about you. So instead of having a distorted identity, we need to start to have a Christ-centered identity. I am who he says I am. A Christ-centered identity leads to Christ-honoring habits, and Christ-honoring habits leads to a Christ-centered identity. You see, you start with the who before you do, and instead of focusing on what you want to do, start with who you want to become. So I want to ask you a question today. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Some of you might say, I want to be a parent that's fully present for my family. You might want to say, I want to be a Christian and I want to read my Bible every day. You might want to be a person that doesn't skip the things that are a little too hard, but good for me. So how about the parent one? You know, when you say you want to be there for your child, you're going to have time with your children. But every time your phone dings, you pick it up and you're reading the messages. You know, every time your phone goes off and you don't look at it, what are you doing? You are reinforcing that identity that says, I am a parent who is intentional and fully present because I am totally with you. Reading your Bible every day. I remember this when we went through COVID a few years ago now, amazingly. I remember one of the very first things that Leon said was about starting your day with God and ending your day with God. And you know, was that 2020? It was then. And I took that on board. And you know what? I can honestly say, not every day, but more days than not, my day starts with the Bible and not with Facebook. It's a habit. A guy called James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habits. And I'm not saying everything in this book that he's written is, I agree with everything, is brilliant for me, but I really like this. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. No single instance will transform your beliefs, but as the votes build up, so does the evidence of your new identity. So who are you going to vote for today? That voice that says you can never change, or the God who is 110% behind you that says that you can? No single action is going to change my identity, but multiple actions over time are going to change how I see myself and eventually will change it. So how many of us online, how many of us in the room today have something specific that we're hoping to change? And I want you to think about that specific thing right now. Are you hoping to get into better physical shape or hoping to get more organized? Listen, hope is great. Hope is good. Every research says that having hope, having optimism is a great thing that we need. But let me tell you, hope alone won't change your life, but habits will. So what's the third thing? Find your why, find your how, find your what not. Find your what not. What did you do last Tuesday morning? Probably the similar thing you did last Monday morning. Your routine is probably very similar. Do you know most of what I did last Tuesday morning wasn't the result of hope, it was the result of habit. And apparently over 40% of the actions we do every day are not the results of decisions, but the results of habits. God does big things through small habits. God does big things through small habits. So what is going to be your what? What is going to be the one habit you need to start based on who you want to become? And don't go too out there. Don't set the bar so high that you're going to fail on day three. So you want to be more disciplined, don't hit the snooze button. You want to be more organized, make your bed before you leave the house. You want to be more healthy, don't drink so many soft sugary drinks. You want to be closer to God, come to church more regularly. There are things that we can do. We need to make the change obvious. And there's something called the habit cycle, which was really helpful when I saw this. It always starts with a cue, something that I see. Once I see it, it creates a desire or a craving. Then I get a response or an action, and then I get a reward. And the reward is always going to give me a dopamine hit, that feel-good factor, that thing that makes me feel good. The cue in this, the thing to make in this habit cycle is the cue. That is the thing to break. If you want to change what you do, change your cue. And James Clear also said, the key to starting any habit is to actually make it a habit that takes you 2 minutes or less. Make it obvious, make it easy. So if you want to start praying more, just thank God for one thing a day. Do you want to start exercising? Start with one sit-up every morning. Make it easy. Hope will get you started, but habits will keep you going. You know, Zechariah 4 verse 10 says this, do not despise these small beginnings. Do not despise these small beginnings. There's not one big habit that's helped me become closer to God, but there's been a million little ones. And I never plan to mess my life up, guys. I never really have a plan to do that. It kind of happens, you know? It's never anyone's goal, is it really, to screw things up. But we do it one bad decision, one wrong step, one harmful habit at a time, and it always starts with one day I. So based on who you want to become, what's one habit that you need to break? What's one thing you need to break? What one habit is stopping you becoming more of who God wants you to be? And why does defining and naming it matter? Because you can't defeat what you don't define. Denial isn't just the river in Egypt, as the joke goes. Oldie but goodie. You can't defeat what you don't define. Ever wondered why good habits are difficult to start and bad habits are difficult to break? difficult to start because the pain's always now, isn't it? And the payoff is later. You know, when I started doing the Couch to 5K and it was raining, oh, it killed me to get up. It killed me to get up. And I used to go out, you know what, and I weighed the same and I'd think, this isn't working. We need to try something else, Jane. And often what we do is we scrap the whole process and we don't keep with the program. The pain is now and the payoff is later. And bad habits are difficult to break because the payoff is now and the pain is later. Man, that ice cream dessert sundae was really great, wasn't it? But then when I get in the car, I think, why did I have that? Why did I really eat that? We need to remove the cue to help us break a habit. The cue will trigger my habits. Remove the cue, interrupt the action, move the alarm clock. And I know for some of us, there'll be more dangerous things and habitual activities that need addressing. You know, I'm not trying to be flippant and trying to give like a really like shallow answer to some of this stuff. I know that you may need more than removing a cue and interrupting an activity. You may need to ask for help. And I want to say to you, look, asking for help is never a sign of weakness. It's always a sign of wisdom. It's always a sign of wisdom. And if you need that, I want to encourage you, please, please, please ask for some help. Either here, drop a message online in the chat that you need to talk to somebody about something. There's always somebody here that is willing to listen. Do you like the direction your habits are taking you? So as we come to finish and come to land this today, I just want to ask one final question about why we haven't been changing. I think we've been trying for too long. We've been trying for too long. I had a theology of trying to serve God, trying to go to church, trying not to worry so much, trying to exercise more. Man, I did the whole roadmap with trying. And I was doing the best I can. I was like, God, why isn't this working? And this is where Craig Rochelle, I think, got it right. Stop trying, Jane, and start training. What is trying? An attempt to change with my minimal commitment. It's often a half-hearted attempt. It's a try, it's a hope, it's a wish. I'm going to bring a little bit of me to this, but not too much. Not too much. What's training? A wholehearted commitment to achieve my result. You see, if I'm trying, I'm hoping for a better result. When I'm training, I find I've got a plan, I've got a strategy, I've got some fight in me over it, you know? There's an intentionality behind it. There's a drive, there's a focus, there's a purpose. When I try, I give up when it gets hard. I quit when I don't feel like it. When I got a training mentality, I'm not acting according to my feelings, I'm acting according to my commitment. If I'm led by my feelings, half the time I wouldn't do anything. But my feelings are momentary. Listen, I can feel great today, go to bed, get up in the morning, feel really low. What's happened? I've just gone to bed. But that's how it works for us. You know, 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, train yourself to be godly. Training for me is to take every bit of power I have and then some power that I don't from God. It's intentional. So I want to ask us today, do you want to change? Do you want to change? Is there something in your life you want to change? And you might find that a really strange question because you go, of course there is. Of course there's something in my life I want to change, Jane. Remember that time when Jesus spoke to the guy by the pool who was ill, who needed healing? And what did he say to him? Do you want to get well? And the onlookers would have gone, of course he does. But Jesus knew something about how we work as human beings. There has to be a want. There has to be a drive. There has to be an inner drive, an inner push, an inner purpose that we want to change. And we bring that inner purpose, we bring that inner drive, and we put it together with God's strength and God's power and God's glory, and then we can start to see something happen. So do you want to change? Do you want to be well? Do you want to stop the whatever? Do you want to start the whatever? Do you want to be different? Do you want to stop trying? And start training. Well, do you know what? I really honestly believe that today could be a starting point for some of us. I really do believe that. Where we can plant our feet and go, yes, today, God, this is what I want to change. This is what I want you to help me and join me in. And then can you show me? Can you show me how to remove my cue? And what that is? And when the alarm goes off in the morning, help me not press snooze. When I get up, help me open YouVersion, or the versions of the Bible are available, and not go straight to Facebook or Insta or WhatsApp. Make it obvious, make it quick. Involve God. I just want us to close our eyes, if you would, for me, because these are really pivotal moments and can be really pivotal moments for us. And it's great in here, isn't it, when we're all together and we can feel a big yes. But when we walk out those doors, I guarantee you, that guy whose native language is lies is going to be saying things to you like, you won't be able to do that. I'll give you 3 days. I'll give you a week. I want to tell you, it's not what he thinks about you. It's what he thinks about you. And he's 100% for you. And I just want to ask you, while we've got our eyes closed, if there's something specific that you've done, a conversation with God in your mind as we've been talking, or maybe you're not even a Jesus follower today, you can still do this and invite him into that process. And you'd like me to pray for you, that today could be a start for you of some significant change in that road. I just want you to put your hand in the air and I will see it, and I would love to pray for you today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Really high so I can see. Thank you. This isn't a behavior modification program. This is a God transformation process. And as I pray, I want you to hold that in your mind. Thank you. Father, I really want to come to you right now on behalf of all of these people. All of these people that have something in their life that they're saying to you right now, God, I want to see a change. I've tried. And maybe some of you have put it down for so long and just thought there's no point me going doing that again because it never works out for me. And God's encouraging you today to pick it up again and offer it back. And so God, I want to come on behalf of all of these people that want something in their life to change. And God, I pray that this will be a real turning point for them. This will be a real memory, a real experience, a real moment of transaction, a real moment of exchange. God, we want to change. We've tried to change. And often we've failed to change. Would you start by helping us change how we see ourselves? God loves you. God is for you. God is not against you. God is not ashamed of you. God is not disappointed in you. God is completely, hopelessly loving of you. Father, would you help us know what we need to start and what we need to stop? Would you show us what our cues are, what our triggers are, and help us, Father, to actually come with a strategy and a plan to train for that to change? And that will be different for all of us. But when that alarm clock goes off in the morning, would you help us remember what we've said to you today? And we will press that snooze button and we'll start our day differently with you. So So God, we leave this with you. Would you affirm it in our spirits? Would you bed it in there? Lord, whatever's been of me, would you just let it pass away? But let that which has been of you and which has been of truth really root in our hearts, God. And we would start to see over the next coming weeks and months a real transformational change so that we become who you say we are already. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand if you're willing and able.